Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and we are testing the fences of life. We're trying to optimize the experience, and if I can help you do the same, then that would be amazing. If you have questions, you can send them to questions@koabd.com. Do not pass that email around. It's just for you, you listeners, to ask your questions. I do not post that email anywhere else. You can also register at katherinecolleen.com, and we can chat there. Let me know how I can help, and I will do my best to answer your questions in future podcasts. So today we're talking about the dangerous territory of labeling and assessing ourselves. It's hard to label yourself correctly. Other people certainly try to label you, right? Your parents, your friends, your family, your society, your workplace, but they don't really know you. And they don't really know your inner self. So we try to label and assess ourselves, right? Because you're the only one who knows you and you are the best judge of you. So we label and assess ourselves. But we are notoriously bad at understanding our own strengths and weaknesses. And there's research out there to show this. Look that up. We find that our friends and our coworkers can sometimes give us better insight into our strengths and weaknesses than we can give to ourselves, right? So typically other people, good friends and coworkers, could label your strengths and weaknesses for you better than you could yourself. So we fall into this trap of accepting labels and assessments from our friends and from our family for everything. Everything, right? Like, what do you got? Label me, I'll take it. And this is how limiting beliefs get stamped onto your subconscious. So you know that your friends and family are going to be, and coworkers are going to be better at assessing you for certain things, so you decide to let them assess you for everything, right? This is the trap we fall into. So here's the thing. Given that there is no self, we need a self to operate day to day, but that's not who we really are. When we try to label ourselves, we are trying to describe something that does not really exist, or describing something that temporarily exists, right? You have a self. You always need a self, even once you get past the stage of recognizing that there really is no self, that it's just something that our psyche creates to get through the day. It means we're trying to label and assess something that doesn't entirely exist or only temporarily exists, right? It might be easier to describe what you're not. So here's the thing. We need a self from a psychological perspective just to get through the day. And there's nothing wrong with making a self that you enjoy and enjoying life through the eyes of that self. Are you rebellious? Are you a rule follower? Are you an intellectual? Are you different things? You really get to you're the one who gets to decide that. And you can live life through the eyes of that self, and that's fun. But we can only define ourself for ourselves, not for others. Others, however, can be very instrumental in helping us honestly assess the skills that we are particularly good at or not good at. It goes both ways. So skills, that's different. These are learned skills, not an aspect of your core self. So for example, you may be good or not at cooking a particular dish, or at driving a car, or at writing an article, or presenting on a certain topic. Learned skills. other people can be really helpful in helping point out the learned skills that you are or are not very good at. But skills are not an aspect of your core self. So be careful here. Be very, very careful, even in getting people to assess your skills. Because some people have motivation to lie to you. Some people have motivation, and you might think they're your friend, but some people have the motivation to tell you that you're not good at something because that would be advantageous to them. Or to tell you that you are good at something because they want to be nice, or that would somehow be advantageous to them. So be careful there. But the right people can help you list out what skills make you awesome. They cannot help you label the characteristics of your core self because they are not in there with you. They do not know. Here's the difference. Skills are real. They can be gained and improved. Selves are not real. They change and evolve over your life. Would you let someone else define your imaginary friend as a child? I don't think so. So don't allow them to label your current self. So important and random note, this is really important. Changing yourself to please others or gain acceptance is not healthy, so don't do it. Do not change yourself to please others or gain acceptance. This will only lead to failed relationships and misery. And if you are changing yourself or presenting specific personas to manipulate others, to gain their favor so that they will do certain things for you, that is sociopathic behavior, and you need to cut that shit out right now. If you find yourself doing either one of these, please, please, please seek help to stop. When you define yourself, your core self, it should not be for the purpose of others. It should not be that you're defining yourself as something that you think other people will like, that you want to become something that other people will like, or that you want to become someone that other people will give money to or manipulate them into doing things for you. This is not healthy. When you define what you want to become, when you want that self that you're defining, and I don't mean in terms of skills, but even in terms of skills, I suppose, you've got to be doing it for you. Who do you want you to be? And to hell if anybody else likes that. And to hell if anybody else cares. I don't give a crap. Because your authentic self, that is the one that you want to be, the one that you can take pride in, that is worth being. But only you can define that, and only you can label that, and only you can assess that, your core being, because nobody else is in there with you to see who this core self is and where you want it to go. So while other people, let me sum up, while other people can be very instrumental in helping you assess your skills, for example, skills you use in your career, they are absolutely useless, in fact, damaging and detrimental if you try to let them assess your core being. So yes, let other people critique that PowerPoint presentation. No, do not let them critique your personality. See the difference? So you really, really have to put up fences to make sure that you're not allowing others to assess your core self. But do go to them to help you assess your skills. But when you do that, be careful, just in case they have a reason to lie to you. All right. So that's really the dangerous territory of labeling and assessing ourselves. So I got a really, really great question the other day. So I want to go talk about questions now. I got a really good question the other day that first off, I did not know how to answer, and this will make a great article later, I think, if I can find the courage to approach it. And this came from, I like to have this perspective of, you know how people will say, live every day like it's your last. And that's a great way to approach life. But I heard a different perspective, which was treat everybody else as if it's their last day. And I wish I could remember who to attribute that to, but I don't. But treat other people as if it's their last day. That's not my idea. I just heard it somewhere, and I thought it was brilliant. And that has really changed how I treat certain people. How would you treat them if it was their last day? And then I got this question. The question was, what do you say to someone when you believe this may be the last time you will talk to them? That for whatever reason you have to believe that this is the last time you're going to talk to them. And the concept here was that you believe that either they will pass away or that you will pass away. Not that you're going to move to another city and not ever talk to them, but the idea was that either they were going to pass or you were going to pass. What do you say to someone if you believe this is the last time you will speak because one of you is about to leave this plane of existence? Woo. That is a hard question. It's really, really hard. And what comes is that you have to assess if there's anything unsaid between you. Is there something between you that you have not said? So this really breaks into two different categories. Either you know this person or you don't. Right? I'm assuming this is not a random stranger. I'm assuming you know this person, that you've had interactions with them before. So what you have to ask yourself is, what have you not said? And in a final conversation, or what you believe may be a final conversation, is not the time to hold back things like, I love you. You made a difference in my life. You mattered to me, or you mattered to these other people. Say what needs to be said. Speak the truths that may be obvious. Speak them anyway. If you have issues with this person, if you have gripes, if you've got beef, maybe now is the time to just let it go. Or to address it and say, but I don't care now. Right? Let it go in whatever way you need to let it go. But this is your opportunity to say what needs said. Now, if you have always said what needs said, which is a good way to live your life, and you don't have anything unsaid that you need to speak about, right? Then what do you say? And I could not come up with anything good here except that whichever one of you is about to pass should probably have the opportunity to express any wisdom that they may have picked up along the way. Wisdom that could be conveyed to others. There is a wonderful wisdom from people at the end of life. It's a perspective that the rest of us can really benefit from. There's a really great book that in a future post, I have a reading list to kind of help you get from through different stages and spend more time in later stages. And it's sort of listed out by stage. And in one of those books is a list of wisdom and what was learned from the bedsides of those at the end of life, and it was really fascinating. So I think there's some wisdom to be gathered there, if possible. And there's gratitude to be given. And there's love to be given. And I just don't know what else matters. If you are this person's spouse, or child, then it's worth having a conversation about what the other person wants in terms of funeral arrangements and stuff like that. You want to have the administrative issues all worked out. But assuming that that's all worked out, I think it comes down to wisdom, gratitude, and love. And for some people, that conversation might be easier if you also throw in a little bit of, like, I don't know, football or something. Just the everyday joys, maybe some cookies, or a good beer, I don't know. That's the best I've got. That is a super, super hard question. I would love to know what everybody else thinks. Send your thoughts to questions@koabd.com or register at the website katherinecolleen.com and let me know there. That was a crazy, crazy good question. All right. So on that downer note, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us for this podcast, and we'll see you next time.